We are going to talk about a subject that I think is very dear to so many of us, because it's the subject of who are we? What is our identity? I'd like to begin by telling you guys a little story from my life. In my senior year of college, I was playing water polo. I'd played water polo all through high school and college and a little bit before that. And in my senior year, I was contemplating whether or not I wanted to continue playing. A longer story that's not built for today. My coach and I, we'd never really grounded our relationship in mutual respect and trust. And so over the course of the 4 years playing together, it wasn't feeling right by the time I was in my senior year. There was, like I said, a lack of trust, and just the way that we entered into that team mentality and entered into the competitions, it just, we weren't resonating or vibrating in the same energy. And it's hard to play when there's a lack of trust. It's hard to play for someone that you don't trust necessarily. So after the fall season, the preseason of practices, we had our winter break, and I was deciding at that point if I wanted to come back in the spring and actually compete and be a part of the team. And I organized my lists of pros and cons and really sat with the decision, contemplated it, looked at what my life would be like on both sides of this decision, and tried to really wrap my mind around my truth and what was important to me and what I needed and what I really felt in that decision. I didn't want to be impulsive in it, but I wanted to come from a place of what at that time was my true wisdom. And where I ultimately got with it was that my identity was completely wrapped up in being a water polo player. My tribe, my clique, my teammates were the very foundation of my social life, you know. And it's not that if I left the team, it's not that those friendships would have been dissolved. They were there and they were built upon something greater than water polo. But the camaraderie, that spirit of being in something together, just that intimacy of what it meant to be a part of a team, I realized automatically that would be lost if I stepped out of the team. And then I expanded that out, and I thought about my community at large at the university that I was attending. And in that community, I identified as an athlete, and there was a whole tribe of people, students, fellow peers, who identified as athletes, and we had an unspoken community. We vibrated in the same, we vibrated on the same level. We had the same priorities and the same value systems. And even if you didn't know one another personally, it was, there are your fellow athletes. It was a community that was built, and I identified with that. I needed to be a part of that community at the time. And then I expanded it out even further, which actually I'm saying further at the time, but really what I was doing was getting in inside more and more. And I realized that I identified with myself. My self-definition was completely wrapped up in being a water polo player, to the point that it impacted the way I related to everyone in my world. All of my professors knew that I was a water polo player. They knew that was a huge part of my life. My family, my friends, everyone in my world knew that that's who I was. And it wasn't that dropping the label meant they would look at me differently, but it's that all of those values that I held dear, discipline, self-respect, integrity, hard work, all of these elements that I valued as character traits, I thought they were wrapped up in that identity. So I got to the point in contemplating all of this where I realized I couldn't quite let go of that identity yet. It wasn't time for me to step away from the team, and that it was better to come in and really have to work hard at building a relationship of respect and trust with my coach than having to redefine who I was at that time. Think of it as, you know, our identities in the world and the way we've been taught to relate to our identities, they're very fragile. Think of it as a house of cards, and we're building just card after card. We're building up this platform, this edifice of who we are in terms of our identities. And there are those superficial identities that we can place on the top. You know, I like Chinese food, or I like pizza. We can take those off the top and the rest of it won't come crumbling down. But what I realized in contemplation of whether or not I should leave the team in my senior year was that that card, that identity card of being a water polo player, was foundational. It was right there on the very bottom of that house, that deck of cards, that house of cards that I had built. And the risk of pulling it was too great, because I knew that if I pulled that card, the entire house would come falling down. And at the time, I didn't know what would be left. If that house of cards came tumbling down, what would be there? Would I be left standing? What would be around me in that destruction? I didn't know, and I couldn't take the risk. So I chose to play water polo, and I loved it and had a wonderful senior year. The story ended well for me in that case. But what I want to focus on is our relationship to identity. You know, in our current culture, the proclivity to define ourselves and then subsequently to define the other people in our lives by our identifiers is widespread. We see it everywhere in media. We see it in our relationships. It's become foundational in who we are to relate to the world by our identifiers. This is what mass culture is doing in our current society. I think about it, you know, if we just look at news and news reports, we can see the stories, we can see that the habit to name, to group, to define is pervasive. You know, if we think about whether it's the positives or the negatives, news reports, journalistic reports of oppressed community, marginalized communities and what that looks like and the struggles that are present there, or the other side of it through stories and memoirs, glorifying people who are owning their identity, reclaiming their identity and thriving in the midst of it, the impulse to define and relate to the world based on these identifiers is so strong. And it's what so many of us are taught to do. The world, our current culture, is built upon this consumer-based cycle where we think that what we have, what we are getting, what we need is defining who we are. And it continues to pull us and draw us further and further out until we realize that our happiness is being defined by things that are so far outside of ourselves. We've forgotten to look at where true happiness comes from. And the further away that we are from owning and knowing who we truly are, the less we're able to find that happiness and hold on to it for ourselves. You know, I think about it in the sense that when we are identifying with, when we are sharing our identities in the world, I think about identity as a piece of clothing, you know, and currently what it feels like is that our culture is defining these groups, that we're finding our tribes, you know, the further out we are in relating to our happiness, the more this sense of loneliness, the sense of separateness gets integrated into our culture. The more we feel alone, the more that we want to hunker down and find the people that are just like us and feel safe and feel protected in these little groupings, in these tribes that are based on what is actually a superficial identifier. It can be something as superficial as the music that we listen to or the food that we like to eat or, the activities that we like to do in the world. I think about groups like meetups and things like that, and none of them are wrong. I mean, it's beautiful to find a meetup group and go on a hike together or listen to music together. But if we claim that as our identity and we ground ourselves in it, like I did as a water polo player, if it's taken away from us, we run the risk of feeling like all that we have is collapsing. And I think about these identities as garbs of clothing. So if I'm wearing a garment, if I'm wearing a purple shirt today, and that I'm identifying and grouping myself based on the color of that shirt, right? Based on the music that I like, or the food that I'm eating, or the activity that I like to engage in. Today I'm wearing a purple shirt, so today I'm in this group. But what if tomorrow I put on a green shirt? Now I'm over here in this group. Or what if next week I'm wearing a yellow shirt? And then we start to learn and we train ourselves, well, I like the yellow shirt group. Let me wear a yellow shirt every day so I can be a part of that group. And suddenly we begin to change and shift and transform to try and fit into what our society is expecting us to be or asking us to be. And the question that we can pose to ourselves, and that Swami Kriyananda and Paramahansa Yogananda pose to us as self-realizationists, as spiritual seekers on the path of self-realization, is there another way that we can live? Is there another way that we can relate to the world? Do we have to identify ourselves based on our purple shirts and our red shirts? And again, I'm using this as a superficial example, because it doesn't matter what that identifier is that you're placing in. The truth is that it is simply a garment of clothing that you're wearing temporarily. Everything that we are, everything that we hold on to as our definitions of self, they're just temporary. When we leave this body, just like we shed the body, move on to the next stage of our lives, move on to the next stage after life, into the astral world, we just drop these personalities. They're a recipe, a karmic recipe that's been built to help us learn what we need to learn in this lifetime. And those identifiers, though vastly important to some of us as we're relating to the world, they're just garments that we shed, that we get to take off at the end of our lives, at the end of our days. And so as we are exploring what it means to take to identify in these groups, to identify by these superficial things, what does it look like to live in a different life? What does it look like to find a tribe that doesn't care that my shirt is purple or blue or red, where the color of the shirt doesn't matter at all, but rather what matters is the soul that's beaming through the shirt, the soul that's beneath the garment of clothing? Is there a way that we can actually begin to relate to the world by those qualities that exist on a soul level rather than the superficial? So that I can say, I am not a teacher, I am not a daughter, I am not a mother, I am not a father, whatever it may be. I am not a lover of Chinese food, I am not a lover of hiking, I am not a sailor. Whatever those superficial definitions are, can we shed them easily and find that space of stillness that exists beneath them? What if we moved even more intimately or intricately into those self-definitions? What if we contemplated what it meant to say, I am not a gender, I am not a race or an ethnicity, I am not my sexual orientation, I am not my ideologies, my political values. I am a child of God. I am a child of the infinite. And all of these self-definitions that the world has taught us to hold, what does it look like to live in freedom from each one of them? To find a place where we're building our tribes, our communities, beyond those self-identifiers. This is the root of what we're doing when we join the spiritual path. Every day when we enter into meditation, as we still our mind and allow our breath to flow up and down the spine, we're removing ourselves from the contexts of the outside world. We're removing ourselves from the context of those identifiers, so that we don't have to live in that cycle that's always pulling us further and further outward, that we can choose, instead of grouping and defining ourselves based on our aesthetics, based on our ideologies, that we can break free of that cycle and we can define ourselves as children of God. We can define ourselves beyond the circumstances of this world. Paramahansa Yogananda's chant, I am He. I don't know if that's the title, but many of you will know it. It harkens directly to this conversation that we're having today. No birth, no death, no caste have I, shedding everything that we know. Father, mother, have I none. I am He, I am He, blessed spirit, I am He. I have to sing the whole thing. Mind, nor intellect, nor ego feeling. Sky, nor earth, nor metals am I. Throughout this list, what Paramahansa Yogananda is offering to each one of us is that ability to shed those things that are so fundamental to our self-definitions. Mother, father, have I none. We are not the people that we came from. We are not the ethnicities and the races and the genders that have been assigned to us at birth. We're putting on these garbs of clothing in order to learn the lessons that we have to learn in this world. But we have the freedom and the ability to rise above each of those circumstances and to identify with who we are at the core. Children of God. Doesn't matter what color your shirt is. It doesn't matter what gender you are. It doesn't matter what profession you have. It doesn't matter how much money you make. All of these things are circumstantial, and they can be taken away, and they will be taken away upon our death. But the one thing that we have to always hold on to is the truth of who we are, children of the infinite. Who are we really? Children of God in every single moment. The soul can never be tarnished by that which is outside. How do we build this? What does this look like? Paramahansa Yogananda advocated for world brotherhood colonies, communities of people that can come together and that can celebrate the best in one another, that can support one another, a group of souls that can come together and support our true reality and support one another on our journeys home. And last night when I was reading a little bit about world brotherhood colonies and things that Swami Kriyananda and Paramahansa Yogananda had written and spoken about them, I found a beautiful metaphor that Paramahansa Yogananda used. He said that devotees are like saplings. And when a sapling is first planted into the ground, there is often a barrier, a protective barrier, that's placed around them to keep it from being destroyed or broken or eaten by animals or any of the things that can happen to it because it's delicate. But over time, as its roots and as it grows in its strength, those protective barriers are no longer needed. They can shed the protective barriers and they become a strong, powerful presence. And as I said, the simile that he created here is that devotees are just like those saplings, that when we first enter upon the spiritual path, when we first turn away from the world of self-definitions and self-identifiers, we're just like those delicate little saplings. And the protective barrier of a spiritual community, of a group of like-minded people who are coming together and always holding us as our true selves, always holding us as a soul, no matter the personality, no matter the mistakes or the triumphs that we have, no matter the gender, the race, the ethnicity, none of these definitions matter. You come and you are a soul. You can be wearing a purple shirt, a red shirt, an orange shirt. Doesn't matter. What we see in one another is the soul beneath the garb. Who you are in your personality is one of the least important parts of you. Who you are in your soul, the energy that you share, the love and the compassion that you have as a child of God, these are the qualities that matter. And just like this little sapling that's being protected by the bulwark of whatever it may be, hedges, bushes, anything that's protecting it, spiritual community can come together and can help us to protect ourselves from those inclinations to be drawn out into the world, from those inclinations to define ourselves as something other than a child of God. No birth, no death, no caste have I. Sky nor earth nor metals am I. We are not this material world. We are not the collection of ideologies that we hold. We are not even the values that the world has taught us are important. All of it can get shed. I am he, I am he. We can burst through it and feel the vibration of God's presence underneath everything that we do by simply turning away. By simply turning away from those identities, drawing ourselves in through meditation, holding that stillness, holding that place of truth. And as we continue to grow and to move out in the world in this way, holding ourselves as children of God, knowing that our personalities and our identities, however the world defines them, that they do not define us, that we can rise above each of these temporary, superficial definitions, and that we can exist with all of the power, all of the wisdom, all of the strength that is ours by birth. It is our birthright. When we can move through the world in that way, we automatically begin to transform the people that are around us. That energy is a magnetism that we get to share with everyone in the world so that we can be part of a change. We can be part of the shift away from a culture that is so habituated in compartmentalizing and grouping and naming. Simply that statement, I am not this gender, I am not this body, I am not a teacher, I am not a daughter. Those are the things that I do, but they do not define who I am. How much power is in that statement? Automatically, the grouping, the naming, the othering that our society is so inclined towards, it's cut. Cut with the sword of discernment, with the sword of the power of God. I am not these self-definitions. And that's a contagious mentality. It will spread like wildfire throughout all of our society. It can help to transform everyone that we know, everyone that we encounter, because it is our truth. And truth cannot be denied. To whatever level it can be accepted, then it's shared and it's magnified and it's glorified within each one of us. Whether you feel like a sapling or you feel like the deeply rooted tree of discernment and power and strength, you are a part of this change that we can begin to transform from one person to another, to share that truth of who we are. As I said, as we walk through the world, knowing that we are children of God, we light the fire of divine grace, divine love, of divine connection with in everyone that we meet. What could be more beautiful than that? Yogananda used to say, I prefer a soul to a crowd, but I prefer a crowd of souls. By moving through the world beyond our self-identities, beyond our definitions, by moving through the world and celebrating and seeing the good, seeing the God in every single person that we encounter, we get to be part of that creation of a crowd of souls. We get to share that light, share that joy, spread Master's teachings, spread the teachings of Yogananda, spread the teachings of self-realization to everyone that we meet.